Happy to see each one of you. Some of you I know were thinking you might not make it this morning, and it always blesses me when I look out and see that you did. That just is always sweet. This is our last meeting, as you know, and I just look forward to see what the Lord is going to do in this and in the summer to come. And just would ask that you would be praying for us, that we would hear clearly what he would have for next year. I never want to presume anything, and I love it actually that way, because to know that he has a heart for us, he knows the plans for us, he knows what he wants us to be focusing on. And I've seen that over and over again this year. It's been a blessing. As you may recall, we're going to have a time of fellowship after the study today. After you will go to your small groups, but actually I'm going to take like 10 minutes of them, sorry. But because I want us to be able to just have a little bit more fellowship time afterwards. We'll go out in the foyer area and they will have some goodies for you. And you can just enjoy fellowshipping with one another. And I'd ask that those of you with kids at 11 o'clock that you would go get them, because the childcare workers, some of them have to blitz out. But as I have said before, they are welcome to enjoy some of our goodies, but my request is that you be the one who puts the food on the plate rather than having them go through the line and take and reject, you know, just for all of our sakes. So, but that's always a special time, and if you can linger, that's great, because that's the whole purpose of why we have it, so that you will be able to just enjoy that time with each other. And I hope a lot of you have my email. If you don't, it's real easy, judy@athecreek.com, because I love to hear from you and I love to know how you're doing. And the summer can seem so long sometimes, in terms of I just feel like I don't see some of you for weeks and weeks on end. And so I do love to hear from you. Do know that. Well, let's pray. Father, we do come to you this morning, and we give you thanks. Lord, you have been speaking to us this year about a subject that has become so near and dear to me personally, and I believe to the women as well. Thank you for knowing our needs. We think we need to tell you all of them, and Lord, you already know. And so, Father, I do just pray that truly we would hear what you would say to us this morning, that we would take it in, embrace it as your truth, and from your heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as I said, I have totally loved this study on rest this year. It has been just one I have loved, just constantly, every single week, coming back to focusing on resting in the Lord. And, of course, being up here, it has challenged me to walk the talk, you know. The Lord has shown me, I can't sit up here and give you all of these direction on embracing the Lord's rest, and then in my own personal circumstances be chewing my nails or pulling out my hair, you know. I have to walk the talk myself, but I'm so glad for that. And I hope that truly you have been taking in the word that the Lord has had for us this year. That he wants us to come to him, that he wants us to find rest in him. And it's a rest that is not found anywhere else. I know that we know that. We know it up here. But sometimes our gut-level responses can be from a pattern of responses our whole life long. And maybe we grew up seeing those very responses and we've taken them on as our own. Or maybe we just tell ourselves we're, you know, high-strung or very sensitive or whatever title you want to put on it. But God's word is for each one of us. He doesn't say, well, of course, I understand some people just can't apply this. No, his word is for each one of us and how he wants us to take hold of it, to apply it, to enjoy the rest that is found in him. And so my prayer has been that this focus has been good for you. I know for me personally, what I have had to remember is that his rest may not always follow my description or even my prescription for myself of how rest should look. You know, sometimes my idea is that to find the rest in him, I mean, I need to get away. I need to have a few days to myself. I can fall into that. We all can. And that is finding rest, and that is a good thing to do. But the emphasis that he has wanted for us this year has been to realize that it may be as simple as not even moving from the chair you're in, but turning to him and receiving his rest. I love that. Over and over, the Lord this year has been bringing me back to his invitation, reminding me that that is the starting point. That is the starting point of finding my rest, is listening to him and obeying. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I love it when this year he showed me that his invitation is unlike other invitations I might get. It doesn't include an RSVP because it's an invitation that is truly a command. It's not a suggestion to us, it's a command. And I was thinking, come. You know, isn't that one of the first words we teach our little ones? In other words, the minute they learn to walk and can leave us, we want to teach them to respond to come. That is one of the very, very first lessons. And a wise mother knows that she needs to teach that child that she means what she says. That when she says come, and we've all been there, done that. It's not, even though it can be a little amusing, it's not so they can then go, ha, 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 and run the other way. It's, no, the mother needs to stick to her guns and say, when mommy says come, you need to come. And that is something the Lord wants for us to see too. We all know how that little toddler can be. You know, come. And they give you that little look where you can tell they're thinking, will I or won't I? You know, or they turn a deaf ear to you as if they never heard you call. And yet, isn't that exactly what we can do with the Lord too? We can act like, I don't think I heard anything. Or we can pause and think of the other things that we have to do. Jesus knows that we are weary. He knows that we are burdened. He knows that some days we feel totally overwhelmed with what is before us. And it's in those very times that he lovingly calls us to come. I wonder how many, I'm sure it's really all of us, have heard that invitation and have essentially thought something along the line of, I know I need to come to you and rest, and I will just as soon as I, and you fill in the blank. But whatever is pressing is so pressing, you actually have the thought that, yes, I know I need to do that, but I've got to do this first, as if our need is greater, more important than his invitation to us to come. We can do that. And yet his command is so gentle. You know, he says it so lovingly. He's entreating us to come. But what we need to remember is that his invitation is also a command. And we need to stop right in the middle of whatever we're doing and come to him. I told you all the story about my taxes, you know, and how I was literally beside myself. I was so stressed. And yet the minute he showed me what I was doing and that I needed to pause, I needed to come to him, I was keenly aware that in that moment I had a choice. I could have done what I just described of, well, as soon as this printer is working and prints out the things, and as soon as I get this put away, I am going to come to you, Lord, and I'm going to rest. And I'm so grateful. It was like he held up a mirror, and I knew I couldn't do that. And so right there in my chair, I didn't go anywhere. I didn't do anything. I stopped. And I came to him. And he gave me rest. And I know you might be thinking, Judy, I mean, I wish taxes were what I was stressed out about. And I don't want you to think for a minute that I am minimizing what you might be going through. I personally know a lot of you. And I know some of you are dealing with really big things. Some of you have had to say goodbye to a loved one because they've gone to heaven. That's hard. That's really hard. That kind of grief can be so gripping. Some of you have loved ones that you know are going to heaven. They're on their way. Some of you even are dealing with life-threatening issues. Some here this year have gone through divorce. And I know personally, you would say, the last thing I ever wanted in my life was divorce. And here I sit today, a divorced woman. I don't ever mean to minimize or sound to you as if I am trivializing the kind of things you're going through. And I know taxes are nothing. But I do want to say, it doesn't matter what you're going through. That's what you need to see. It doesn't matter what it is, whether it's finances, health, relationships, death of loved ones, life-threatening illnesses, whatever you're dealing with, nothing is too hard for God. And he would be saying to you every day, come to me and rest. That is what the Lord desires to do in each one of our lives. Last Sunday, for those of you who are going through this 1 year Bible with us, Psalm 95 was in our daily reading. And it starts with the same word of the Lord's invitation to us. If you'd like to turn there, you can. I'm going to be reading from this, which is the New Living Translation. Psalm 95. I'm going to read the first five verses. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come to him with thanksgiving. Let us sing psalms of praise to him. For the Lord is a great God, a great king above all gods. He holds in his hands the depths of the earth and the mightiest mountains. The sea belongs to him, for he made it. His hands form the dry land too. Do we believe that? Do we believe that? And if we do, then why do we act as if we don't? And we're acting as if we don't every time that we want to grab the reins of our own lives. that we want to be in control. We want to determine what should be done next. I would encourage each one of us to meditate on just verses 3 through 5 and just to ask yourself before God, do I believe these verses, Lord? And is that belief reflected in my life? Is that belief reflected in my responses to things in my life? This is one reason why I love going to the coast, to view the awesomeness, the vastness, the power of the ocean. It's always had the immediate effect of putting in perspective whatever I'm dealing with. I remember several years ago, many years ago now, praise the Lord, when I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And it was the most natural thing in the world for me to head to the coast for a personal retreat where I went for a weekend just by myself to spend time with the Lord. And while I was there and walked the beach and looked at the ocean, it was so, so wonderful to see the power, the vastness, the awesomeness of the ocean. And what I loved is that weekend while I was there, the Lord led me to Job 38. And I'm going to read to you from that chapter, and this is the NIV because this is the one he gave it to me, and so I love to read it. But it's the section in Job. I mean, you know, we often think of Job. But Job does have some verses in it that are pretty awesome and even encouraging. And this was actually one of them. The Lord led me to Job 38, where in verse 8 he said to Job, he's asking Job some questions now, "Who shut up the sea behind doors when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and wrapped it in thick darkness, when I fixed limits for it and set its doors and bars in place, when I said, 'This far you may come and no farther, here is where your proud waves halt.'" With these words came such an awesome understanding for me, such a comfort to me. If he could look at those waves and being right there at the beach and spending so much time there looking at them, it was just powerful. And if he could look at those waves and he could speak to them and say, "This far you may come and no further. This is where your proud waves halt." If he could say that to the ocean, if he could set the boundaries for the ocean, he spoke to my heart and said he can speak the boundaries to my cancer as well. And I wonder if we remember that, that the Lord is in control of whatever it is that we are dealing with. He can set the boundaries, and he will set, he does set the boundaries for whatever we are dealing with. And we've got to believe that. Whatever trial you may be going through today, would you know that he can set the boundaries? Sometimes whatever we're going through can be so extreme that in our mind, there are no boundaries. We can't see how it can ever get better or whatever get go away. But realize that God is sovereign, and he will, and he does set the boundaries. Know that the Lord is with you today. And for those of you who are dealing with heavy things, Would you take in that truth right now in your mind and in your heart that he's with you? He's with you right now, and he loves you. And if you can take hold of that, that is, in truth, all you really need to know. So ask him to help you to embrace that truth, to take it, to believe it. Back to Psalm 95. In the sixth verse, it says, "Come," again, that same word, "come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. We are the people he watches over, the flock under his care." And I don't know, I think some of you here at least are old enough that you would remember the praise song that we sang in the 80s that were taken from these very verses. It was very popular back then. And I remember how much it meant to me in that season of my life when, as far as I was concerned, I was dealing with something much harder than cancer. I remember singing that song over and over again and what it meant to me. Psalm 95 again, picking up, "If only you would listen to his voice today." The Lord says, "Don't harden your hearts as Israel did at Meribah, as they did at Massah in the wilderness. For there your ancestors tested and tried my patience, even though they saw everything I did. For 40 years I was angry with them, and I said, 'They are a people whose hearts turn away from me. They refuse to do what I tell them.' So in my anger, I took an oath. They will never enter my place of rest." Now, does that last verse sound like a punishment? Or is it a consequence? I think it is a consequence. I think it's the outcome of going our own way. We're so inclined to do that. We go our own way. We take the reins on our own life instead of trusting him. But what is so wonderful is even when that's the very thing we do, he still loves us. He still bids us to come to him. But what we do need to realize is that until we do, we will not enter his rest. It's just going to be the outcome. So if you're sitting here wanting to go your own way, make your own calls on what you're going to do in life, and leave him out, don't expect to find rest. It's not a punishment, but it is a definite result, a consequence of choosing your own way instead of allowing him to give you that rest. Matthew Henry says, "It's disbelief of the promise is a forfeiture of the benefit of it." So the question is, do we believe it when the Lord says, "Come, and I will give you rest"? See, if we don't believe it, we're choosing to forfeit the very rest he extends to us. How we need to know that God is sovereign. Do we really believe that he's sovereign? That he's omnipotent, all-powerful, that he's omniscient, all-knowing, that he's omnipresent, that he is not limited as we are. He can be everywhere. I love that. That's a huge comfort to me. When I'm praying, and I know that the Lord is just as much with my daughter Melinda in China as he is with me in Portland. What a huge blessing that is. What a comfort. But we need to ask ourselves, do we believe that he is sovereign? And again, that's a question to ask yourself, because it should be evident in the way you live if you believe it. Now, I do believe that until we see him in heaven, we're all going to battle with our little times of doubt. It just goes with the flesh, and he understands that. Do you remember that story? It's found in Mark 9, where the Lord was brought to this young man who had been demonized since he had been a boy. And the father was there with him, and Jesus told him, everything is possible for him who believes. You remember what the father said? He says, I do believe. Help me in my unbelief. That's one of my favorite verses, because to me, that is what we all experience. We're telling the Lord we do believe, and right while we're saying it, we're so aware of where we don't. And we just ask him, help us, help me, where I don't believe you, Lord. And he doesn't chide us for that. He wants to help us in our unbelief. How we need to believe him. How we need to know him. And we can make that knowing him a long process. You know, there's something about our intellect. We love the intellect. And so we may decide we're going to come to know the Lord, but it's like we come from out here somewhere and we start reading books about him. We listen to people's testimonies about him. We're kind of gathering information about him. That's a real snare for us. We could just come to him. Think of that gal that we read about who, in Mark 5, it says that she had an issue of blood. She'd been bleeding for 12 years. And as we know from our recent teachings, that would have made her an outcast. And yet she was so convinced that if she could but touch the hem of Jesus' garment, she would be healed. And she was willing to press through that crowd to touch the hem. And it happened that she was healed. We know that she must have had to battle with thoughts in her mind, a whole bunch of reasons why she shouldn't do that and how foolish it would be, and she could have created scenarios of her being stopped and who knows what people would do to her. But she bypassed her mind and she pressed through to the Lord. And that's what we need to do sometimes too. We need to let go of that love of the intellect and just bypass all of those thoughts and just come to him. That is what he asks for us to do. You know, we all have our issues too. We all have our sins. But Jesus died for our issues. He died for our sins, and we need to see that. Do you believe that the Lord has done all that is needful to save you and to save me? He has. Again, the Lord brought another story to my mind. For the time, I'll just touch on it. It's found in Mark 2, in case you want to read it. But That story where the four men brought their friend to Jesus on a mat, remember? And they get to the house where Jesus was, and the crowd was so great, there was no way of getting him in. So they were creative and climbed up on the roof, tore off the tiles, and lowered their friend to the feet of Jesus. And before the people there had a chance to protest that, hey, he was cutting in line, Jesus looked at that man and he said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And I remember once picturing that whole thing, and in my mind, I was one of those friends, and I thought, oh, goodness, you know what I probably would have been tempted to do if I was one of those friends? If I had lowered him down, I heard Jesus say, "Son, your sins are forgiven," I probably would have gone, "Oh, no, Jesus, he's paralyzed. You know, he needs to be healed. He's paralyzed." But you know what the Lord does? He always deals with our greatest need. And our greatest need isn't always what we think it is. And the truth is, your greatest need, my greatest need, is to be forgiven. And so at the time that Jesus said that, there were men there who, you know, taught the law, or teachers, and they were thinking among themselves, you know, who is this person? What is he saying? Only God can forgive sins. Well, they were right, but they missed who they were with, didn't they? Jesus forgave the man's sins. He knew what they were thinking, and so he said, "Just so you know that I have the authority to forgive sins," that's my paraphrase. He turns to the man, "Rise up, take your mat, and go home." The man rose up, took his mat, and went home. That's what he wants to do in our lives. I pray that there's not one woman here who does not know that she is forgiven. If I did not know that I was forgiven, I will tell you, there's no way I could sit up here. The accuser would have such a heyday with me that truly, I mean, there's just no way that I could be meeting with other people, let alone sitting up in front. But I do know that I am forgiven. And I am so grateful for that. And how he wants us to know it, to live it. And again, you have to bypass all the stuff you think about and just believe that he is able, that he died for your sin. It does not matter if it's the worst thing you can possibly think of. He died for it. And you are forgiven. How I pray that you know that. Do know, you know, Satan is a defeated foe. We're on the winning side. We have to remember that. He will always seek to attack us. But what we have to keep in mind is that anything that Satan does in our lives, he has to first get past God and then past Christ. And so I can know if it reaches me, no matter how hard, how big a trial or a problem it is for me, the Lord allowed it. And he loves me. And he means to ultimately bless me through it and be blessed himself by it. That takes faith to believe. That takes knowing him to believe. And I pray that each one of us would really choose to spend that time with him. And it's only time with him that will produce knowing him. Jesus said it, everything is possible for him who believes. As we read in 95:7, he is our God, and we are the people he watches over, the flock under his care. We're under his care. He loves us. Can we receive the truth, the rest that comes in knowing that truth? Can we see how much he loves us? His invitation is so lovely. Come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke and learn from me, for I am humble and gentle in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. He bids us to come to him. It's such a love-filled invitation. When you hear his voice, don't be like that naughty toddler. Will I or won't I? When you hear his voice to come, come. Let's pray. And Lord, that is my prayer for each one here this morning. Lord, you do bid each one of us to come. You want us to know your love. You want us to know that we are forgiven. You want us to know that you have a plan for our lives, that no matter what we're dealing with right now, no matter how heartbreaking, how hard, how impossible it might be for us, that, Lord, you set the boundaries to whatever it is that is before us. And you love us. You are with us. Please, Lord, may we see that truth. And may we receive the rest that you promise that comes with that truth. Lord, would you bless my sisters? You know each one here. You call them by name. Lord, would you help them to hear your voice? Would you help them to not turn a deaf ear? To not head out in their own way, but to answer when you bid them to come, that they would come. Bless each one, cover them in their needs. Have your way in our lives, Lord. That is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.